as it is time for the local candidate forum that we've been talking about here on the Voice of Moore County and the surrounding area, and also around the world at myaustinminnesota.com as we get ready here for, as mentioned, the forum being held in conjunction with the Austin Area Chamber of Commerce and the candidates here. First off, for the office of mayor of the city of Austin, and that is Jeff Austin and Steve King. And the candidates will be given a chance to make an opening statement, followed by some questions that have been submitted by the chamber. And the candidates will have a maximum of 2 minutes to answer these questions this morning. And then at the end of the forum, they'll have a chance to deliver a closing statement, as it is 7 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. And Jeff and Steve, first off, thank you for, as mentioned, coming out here and being with us this morning.
Thank you, Jeff.
Appreciate your time. And as mentioned, here we'll start off with opening statements and kind of go in an alphabetical order here. Jeff, you want to start us off?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank the Chamber and KUS for hosting this forum. Kind of a different year for campaigning, so kind of a different format for the a forum, but this is great that we're able to get together and discuss the issues. A little bit about myself. I'm a lifelong resident of Austin. Been on the council now for 14 years. Served the first 12 years covering the first ward and the last two as the at-large member. Work for Quick Trip. Have a family that raised here. Kids are all grown and moved away, but they come back and visit on occasion. So I think Austin is a great place to raise a family, great place to live, and just looking to continue to make things better here for everyone.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Steve, go ahead.
Thank you as well to the Chamber and KUS for hosting this. It is a different time. We all can't get together for these forums as traditionally we have due to the COVID. My name is Steve King, and I'm an Austin native. I graduated from Pacelli High School and went over to St. Mary's College for complete my degree. And after I left high school, I didn't return to Austin formally for 20 years. I was 4 years in college and then 16 years in Minneapolis area. And I came back to Austin, my hometown, 15 years ago. I think what I brought with me is perspective from living in other communities. I think that's benefited. Certainly, I think it benefits the city of Austin to see how things, my experiences went through other communities. But I am, in my 15 years working actually 17 years working in the Department of Corrections in Minneapolis, I was always looking for an opportunity to come back to Austin during that whole time. And so the opportunity presented itself in 2005 with the director of Moore County Corrections opening up, and I applied for and received that position. So I brought with me my wife and at that point my 1 and 3 year old sons, and now those sons are 16 and 18. And my wife is an attorney at Baudler Foreman King law firm here in Austin, and she and I are very connected to the community. We volunteer. We are active in our church at St. Augustine's. We're active in the community through various boards. I've been on the city council for 12 years, and at this point, I believe I would, through my relationships and leveraging the relationship I've developed, I would like to serve as Austin's mayor.
All right. And we'll get right into the questions here this morning. And first question here, and I believe this is going to be addressed at the city council meeting actually here tonight. And Steve, we'll start with you. How do you feel about the tax abatement program that's been implemented or was here some time ago here? Do you feel it's been successful or not?
It absolutely has. Prior to the initiation of the tax abatement, we had about 3 housing starts a year and maybe even less than that in the prior 2-3 years leading up to the abatement. So what the abatement has done is really incentivize those that are looking to build homes in Austin. I believe we've had 40 plus homes built in the short 3-year period of having that abatement. The payoff in the end will be once they do get on the tax rolls, that home is going to be on the tax rolls for another 7,500 years. And so we needed that stimulus in order to build new housing, and also the folks that are building homes are leaving behind homes, and to add to the existing market for those folks looking for either a starter home or a mid-level home along the way. So it's, I think it's been very successful, and it will bear itself out.
All right. And Jeff, basically, same question to you. How do you feel about this tax abatement program, and do you feel it's been successful or not?
Oh, I think it's been successful. I think it's something we should continue. Like Steve said, there's been 40-some homes built or that have gone through the program. Not all of them have been built yet. But I think the big thing is that there's been some spec homes built and not just people building that we're planning on building. Mm-hmm. So you do get some extra housing. We do need a lot of housing stock in Austin. We're short on housing. So anything that we can do, it's really kind of a no cost. If nobody applies for the program, it doesn't cost us anything. And like Steve said, once the house is built, it's on the rolls for, mm-hmm. for years. So it's kind of an easy one to do, and I think it should be continued.
All right. Jeff, we'll stay with you here, and this is kind of a that question. It kind of leads into this one here, that given the uncertainty of the amount of local government aid that the city of Austin will receive over the next few years, should the city continue to fund this initiative at the same time, and maybe other initiatives as well for housing, at the same rate, or reduced rate, or not at all? And why would you, and why?
Well, this program, I think we can fund because it really doesn't cost us anything. We did have money set aside in the budget for a housing initiative, which when we took a deep dive into the budget earlier this year and looked at it, we decided that the money we were setting aside we could use in other places right now, given the situation, the current conditions of the economy with dealing with the pandemic, COVID-19. And we do have some of that money built up so that if a project did come along, we do have monies available to use. We can dip into reserves if needed, if a program comes along that we think we really want to pursue. So for at least the next year, we're not funding it. I'd like to get money put back into that program as soon as we can. But we'll just have to wait and see how the economy recovers, how yeah. the budget recovers, what we get with LGA. I mean, that's still an unknown right now. We might not know about that for a couple months yet, how our LGA is going to be affected. So.
Yeah. All right. And Steve, I guess same question to you. Given the uncertainty of the amount of local government aid the city could be receiving over these next few years, should the city continue to fund the initiative we were talking about at the same rate, or others, I guess, as well, and at the same rate or reduced rate, or not at all, and why?
Jason, the city of Austin updated our housing initiative or housing survey about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and it certainly highlighted that we are in need of all levels of housing, from affordable, mid-level, and even some higher-level homes and housing to be developed. I think the taking what we had in place, about a couple $100,000 a year, putting it towards some housing initiatives and to create more of that housing, now is the time certainly not to stop, but as you look at what's going on, we really do have to take a step back. Mm-hmm. My willingness to take a step back on investing in the housing and having that $200,000 be a placeholder would have been different had we not had the 83 units open up out in the flats on 21st out there behind Walmart. Those are beautiful new apartments. We also have some potential for 30-some townhomes being built over by Keene Motors. So these things are either already built or in the hopper pretty well along the way. So I think if there is a time to step back from $200,000 a year in the housing initiative, maybe now is the time, mm-hmm. based on what we're probably not going to get in LGA, and there's those new housing starts that we've initiated through the tax abatement as well as the apartment complexes.
All right. Steve, staying with you and kind of shifting gears here, if you do win, what would your plans be to promote racial equality in the city of Austin, short-term and long-term?
You know, I think being the mayor, you really do have to be intentional, I think, in most things you do, and I think this is no different. You have to really be intentional and creating awareness. First of all, is there an issue with race equality? That you have to answer that first. I think I've seen some positive signs with I know Ojoya Caney ran for city school board last term. Mm-hmm. He failed in his run, but these people are willing to put their name out there. I know we have a Vietnamese, I believe she is, filing for school board. Mm-hmm. And at this point, we have Obala running for city council from Ethiopia, his culture. I think what we're doing is making some pretty good strides. I know that the kids have this down, Jason, that you look through the high schools and, mm-hmm. and the amount of interaction that all races have with each other is very inspiring. I think our adult population could certainly learn from the schools.
Yeah.
But as the mayor, short term, I would certainly ask to see and be intentional on is there an issue with race equality, and if there is, I'd continue trying to put those mm-hmm. folks of different races on boards mm-hmm. and commissions throughout the city. I think long term we need to look at what else is out there nationwide and have the council buy into. Maybe we can go to a forum, or whether it's in person or virtual, but there's a lot of folks out there that have already invented the wheel. I don't think we need to mm-hmm. reinvent it, but I think we need to learn from other communities around the state and around the country are doing, and potentially look into what they may be doing to build equity among our races.
Sure. Jeff, again, the same question to you. If you do win the mayoral race in November, what would your plans be to promote racial equality in Austin, short term and maybe long term?
I guess the short term is to build the relationships with the ethnic communities, the multicultural groups. I was at an event this weekend with the Liberians. They held an inauguration for their local representatives. They have like mm-hmm. a council of their own, and mm-hmm. they installed those people, and it was quite something to see and deal with those people and talked with them, and they're willing to help and do anything and come forward and address mm-hmm. any problems, and I think that's what we need to do. When I was first elected to the council 14 years ago, immigration was a big thing, and it was a negative. It was mm-hmm. a very negative thing at mm-hmm. that time, and people just did not want any immigrants coming to our town. Mm-hmm. And now you look in just 14 years, the difference, how mm-hmm. we've opened our arms to these people, how they've come to our community, become part of our community. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just it, is reach out and build those relationships, find out if there are issues, work to overcome those. I think Austin's always been a leader in that. And we should continue to be. I think that any issues were, you know, we got on board, one of the first ones to become a welcoming community. Mm-hmm. We're having a resolution tonight for Welcoming Week coming up in September. So I think we've got the Welcome Center here and other organizations that are working to build bridges amongst the community, and we just need to continue those things.
Yeah, and obviously both of you see it, and I have as well, with the honorary city council member as well.
That's another
been a program that's been implemented here not too long ago. But Jeff, staying with you here for our next question, the city of Austin has experienced, I don't know if it's an increase in crime, but I guess more accurately, we've seen a couple instances of shots fired around town, and I know a couple of suspects that are looking at attempted murder charges as well, but maybe putting our community in danger. How would you ensure our community remains safe, and how would you address those concerns?
Well, I think we have a very active police department. I know a lot of the police officers. They're very active. They're very caring and concerned about Austin. I think that just staying on top of that, and getting ahead of this action, mm-hmm. You know, these different times, it's put everybody in a different mood and mm-hmm. causes some actions that we probably wouldn't see normally. And so just working with the groups and the police to stay on top of these things.
Sure. And Steve, same question to you. As mentioned, with what we've seen here lately in our community in a couple of instances concerning crime, how would you ensure our community remains safe, and how would you address those concerns?
Jason, I've had a 32-year career in probation and parole, and I've seen firsthand what crime can do to a community. I've had the good fortune of working in 14 different communities and seeing firsthand crime levels and how that crime can really decimate, and how the community responds to different crimes, and whether it's high or low. Austin does have a very responsive police department. I think the basis of crime is always, and I see it every day, we have a lot of broken folks that come through our office through addiction and abuse, and that addiction and abuse drives crime. And so until you fix the problem of educating our children to a level where they can support themselves and continue to work on addiction issues to get those folks the help they need, whether it's chemical abuse or any other substance,
sure.
We see a high number of those issues. So law enforcement is certainly up against it, but we have an excellent police department and sheriff's department in the county, and we are very responsive in law enforcement. Those shots fired are happening in every community, I assure you. It's not just some anomaly in Austin. The detectives are working hard to solve these crimes, and very rarely does a crime go unsolved on these shots fired. So
yeah.
I encourage everybody to be hopeful and really work on the core issues, which is addiction and abuse and poverty issues.
Sure. Staying with you here, Steve, for our next question, there are neighborhoods and individual houses in Austin lacking the proper upkeep and maintenance, and it affects not only the homeowner, but poorly on neighbors and the value of the area. And some examples, lack of mowed yards, screen windows missing or torn, things of that sort, broken down vehicles. How would you address these issues to maintain our community, and how will ordinances be enforced?
The dilapidated housing and the vehicles parked on lawns is a significant issue for me, Jason. It just grates me. I certainly value the property I own, and I want to keep it up best I can for everybody, not just myself. And when you drive through neighborhoods and you see some dilapidated housing or some junk piled up along the home, it does grate on you. The city of Austin and the residents of Austin need to understand that it's our remedy for these is very complaint driven by the citizens. We don't have a inspector driving around looking for dilapidated property. We do rely upon the citizens to report lawn grass, weeds, whatever it might be, or junk cars or junk property. It's a complex problem. And I know that some of this issue is property owned by homeowners. Some of it's rental. I think our rental ordinance has certainly taken a little chunk out of that and assured the folks that they will have yearly inspections on these rental homes, and I think that's a start. We got to do some other creative ways, whether it's through ordinances or I don't even know, something really, really creative to start building these homes back up to and these neighborhoods back up to something that people can expect to a higher level of living.
Yeah, and I know this is a, as we move to Jeff here, it's an item that at every city council meeting where this is addressed, but Jeff, again, same question to you, again, about this lack of mowed yards and, as mentioned, screen windows missing or torn, broken down vehicles, garbage, things like this. How would you address these issues to maintain our community, and how would ordinances be enforced?
Well, I think we're doing a good job of enforcing the ordinances that are there, as well as can be done. Like Stephen said, it's a complaint-driven system for the most part, and the department is very active in getting out and getting these taken care of. We've passed ordinances in the past for the rental housing. I think that's on the right track now. Going forward, I would like to see a program in the future for homeowners where we provide either grants or low interest loans to people so they can get money to do some of the repairs that they need to do. Also, maybe create a database of people that do the work. A lot of times, you want to fix up your house, you want to get it painted or do some work, and you just don't know who to contact. Following some pages on Facebook lately, and there's a lot of that. People are looking for painters, they're looking for somebody to build a deck or build a ramp, and if we just had a database available on the city's website where people could go to, also to get some money together, kind of like our home ownership fund, that we provide low interest loans to help people with down payments on houses. If we could provide some kind of low interest loans for people to help with the upkeep and maintenance of their home housing to get our housing stock back up there.
Okay.
I was out on Sunday walking through some neighborhoods, and in fact my old neighborhood in Southeast by Ellis and I.J. Holton, and I was really impressed at how it's been almost 40 years since I lived over there, and the neighborhood still looks a lot the same. So I was very impressed because there are other areas of town where that the pride certainly isn't there, or the ability to maintain isn't there for the residents. So.
Okay. Jeff Steen with you, one final question here, and I guess this is kind of a question that I like to pitsy you or throw to you guys, I guess. Obviously, you know, you've served here under Mayor Tom Steen and seen what other mayors have done here in the past in the city of Boston. What are some of the, I guess, traits that, you know, that you've seen in these mayors of the past that you would implement if you're elected mayor?
Well, I guess I was elected the same time as Tom, so we've served together for the past 14 years. It was a growing process in the beginning for both of us, and I think we've both come a long way. It's just being able to lead the council and direct them, make sure they do their due diligence on all the issues, look at all sides of each issue, and in the end, to do what is best for the residents of Austin, do what is best for Austin.
Yeah. And I guess same question to you, Steve.
You know, Jason, I have a funny memory of Mayor Tom Q back when I was in high school working at the city municipal pool as a lifeguard that I really can't share in the radio. So I wouldn't say I'm maybe in line with how he proposed or how he presented himself as mayor, but I really appreciated Tom. I think what you get with Tom Steen as your mayor is really a straight shooter. There's no guessing where Tom's at on an issue, and I think that's very honest of a mayor. I've worked with former Mayor Bonnie Reitz on several committees and commissions, and I certainly know her very well. Both two separate styles, I would say, between Bonnie and Tom. My style would be one of consensus building and leveraging my relationships I've built as a county employee and as a state employee and working as a city council member for 12 years. I'd leverage our my contacts with Hormel Foods Corporate and with Mayo, our largest employers, and continue to build those relationships too, because I think those two entities are a major driver in Austin and need to be recognized as such. Also, I think I'd leverage the through my relationship with the Hormel Foundation Board, who is absolutely a gift to the citizens of Austin on what they provide through that foundation. There's so many projects that we could never even touch without that foundation being in our backyard and on our team. So I would certainly bring my relationships I've built and leverage those relationships through the course of being mayor.
All right. We've reached the point of closing statements, and Steve, we'll start with you.
You know, I'm appreciative and I'm humbled by making it through the primary and onto the general election. I've certainly appreciated working with council member, now alder person at large, Jeff Austin. I've learned a lot in my 12 years. I know myself well. I am one to certainly listen to folks, as I've said through the Austin Daily Herald and those forums. You may not always get the answer you're looking for. I might not be able to help to the level you want me to help at, but I certainly will answer your call, stop by and see what that issue and how it's affecting that person. What I've learned over the 12 years is something I might think of as so minuscule it's not even worth a mention is really bothering some constituent out there. And to learn their passion for whatever that issue is that I don't share has been very helpful in my understanding of now looking at the world differently to say, it might not be my issue, but it's an issue for somebody or some folks, and we do need to address it. So I think just listening and continuing on that path of learning would be something I'd bring to the mayor.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Jeff, your closing comments, please.
Well, once again, I'd like to thank the Chamber and KUS for hosting this forum today. It's always great to provide as much information as we can to the public and to the voters. I've learned a lot in the 14 years that I've served on council. I'd like to think that I have become a better listener. Very open, very transparent, very honest with dealing with the public and these issues. I would definitely continue that as mayor. There's on most things, I think Steve and I would probably agree. I mean, I've known Steve most of my life. He grew up a couple houses away from my grandparents, and so we go way back. And, of course, you know, there's always going to be a few differences, but I think I would bring to the table things that my experience living in Austin, talking to people in other towns. I mean, I have family and friends that have lived other towns, and during my time on the council, we always talk about how they do things in the towns where they live compared to Austin, and we're very fortunate here in Austin. We have great department heads, a very well-run city, financially sound with the monies we've got coming in, and I'd just like to continue that leadership and keep Austin a top city.
All right. Well, both of you, thanks so much for being a part of this candidate forum here on AIM 1480 KUS. Again, the two very fine candidates for the office of mayor in the city of Austin, Steve King and Jeff Austin. Gentlemen, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.